Okay, it says it's playing, Dan. It really does. I can see the clock ticking and everything's moving along, but I didn't hear anything. Do you? So it's not just me then? All right. Well, we'll pretend that it happened. All right. This is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I guess we'll call this take two. Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything that you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one to pop up over there sometime tomorrow morning. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at... Oh, so, I heard, I guess, I don't know, it's probably kind of interesting if you want to look at this. You know, NFL training camp is ready to open up with a lot of BS about, you know, these guys want this or that guy wants this. And the one thing that jumped out right away to me, Dan, is Julio Jones has said that he will not report to the Falcons training camp. Because he wants his contract renegotiated. Now, interestingly, this has been going on all offseason, and the Falcons have already told him that since he's got 3 years left on the deal, they wouldn't be interested in renegotiating. But at the end of the season, they would gladly sit down and take a look at the contract with him. The humorous about this, Dan, is this was a 5-year deal that was front-loaded. So Jones has pretty much cashed the majority of the money on the deal, and it's kind of interesting that he wants a new one now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot more money.
So, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He's apparently the 8th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and I think most people would have him, he would definitely be in the top 5. I know some guys would have him in the top 3 probably. He is definitely one of the better receivers in the game. But, you know, Dan, I mean, looking at this, this is kind of shady, isn't it?
Kind of. I mean, do you let him walk? He doesn't.
Well, you know, he can't go anywhere. He can sit out if he wants and not get paid. So.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they hold his, you know, they've got it. He's on contract for 3 more years. You know, I know he can be fined, according to NFL rules, up to $40,000 a day for missing camp because he's a contracted player. So, you know, I mean, obviously they're lucky I don't own a team, because I would just tell him to sit out and then try to come back in 3 years and pick up your career where it is. And then I might even be a jerk and franchise him. So I would have him for another year, but it never goes that way. I mean, there's not an owner with enough big enough brass Canucks to do that to a guy, and it's just, I don't know. It's the weird thing, Dan, is this guy signed the deal. You know, he wasn't forced to sign a 5-year contract. He signed this of his own free will. You know, I mean, and now he just expects, well, you know, the deal's old. I need a new deal now. Well, that's not my fault. You signed it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, this year he gets paid less, but the 2019 season he goes back up to $12.5 million.
You know what I mean? You know, not so much as it's the team's fault. Doesn't, you know, don't you have to kind of look at his agent and say, well, you know, maybe you should have come up with some escalators or something in the contract if, you know, things were going to go this way. You could have helped him out a little bit.
Well, and according to his contract, it said he has a potential out after 2018.
Oh, well, maybe he does. Yeah, they didn't say anything about that. You know, I just saw the coverage report saying he's got 3 years left on the deal. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, but, you know, normally it says, like, there's an opt-out or whatever. This one says potential. I've not seen that one in a contract before.
So you're kind of fading there. Did your Bluetooth crap out on you?
Well, as I said, I've never heard potential out in a contract.
Oh, now you're really faded. What happened there? I can barely hear you. Oh, okay. Well, it seems like we have lost Dan now. So, boy, it's a heck of a day, huh? First the music doesn't play, then it does play, and now Dan falls off. So we'll have to I'll have to give Dan a chance to recycle here. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing because, you know, like I said, the contract was front loaded, and you know now he wants more money. All right, let's see if we got a better hookup here now, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know, do we?
Oh, yeah, that's better. Okay. So.
Yeah, as I was saying, I mean, it's a potential out. So I've never seen that. Usually there's an opt-out. But as far as it being front-loaded, he's actually getting paid the most in the 2019 season at $12.5 million.
So, yeah, boy, I got some bad information out of the guys on the television. Then they were really out of control.
I mean, he gets a $2.4 million signing bonus every year, except for 2020. With this year, he's getting 10.5, 12.5, and 19, and then 11,426 2020. At age 31, so you know maybe he's looking to renegotiate for a long term. He doesn't think he's going to get much after 31, the age of 31.
Yeah, I don't know what you know, and I mean, you know, like I said, I get it. You know, there's a lot of you know wide receivers who are making more money than he is that probably shouldn't, but. You know, again, it's kind of like, well, you know, you jumped on the deal here, you know. I mean, you can't just expect the team to go, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's time to renegotiate. So, but, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Of course, you know, it's not as interesting now with the information you have. They made it seem a lot more interesting on television. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, well, the way it looks like there's really only four guys ahead of him, well, that they have ahead of him, and that's Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, and A.J. Green, who, you know, $15 million to $17 million is the average salary. For his average is 14.2. I'm sure he's looking to get up to that $15 million average or even closer to 16 a year.
So, we'll have to see. But, yeah, I thought it would be interesting if the team just said, oh, yeah, okay, cool, stay home. You know, we'll hang on to your money. You stay home for the next 3 years and then see how many teams are interested in you when you haven't played football for 3 years. So I'm sure he would want to come back very, very quickly.
Yeah, well, and the interesting thing, like with Antonio Brown, who's 30 this season, while his contract is averaged at $17 million, he's only getting a base salary of $915,000 this season with a $3.8 million signing bonus. So it's not until next year and the following 2 years where it kind of averages out to $12.5 million per season.
I didn't realize that. But, you know, I do know they different position, but I know the Rams did sign Todd Gurley, got a big 4-year extension. I thought I saw $60 million. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it'll be interesting to see how that impacts the Le'Veon Bell negotiations. You know, another guy who doesn't run a report, he's under the franchise tag with the Steelers, and they couldn't come to an agreement. So I believe he's already said he won't be at training camp, but he plans on being there week one. He more or less did this last year. So it'll be interesting to see if that affects anything. I'm not sure if they can negotiate with him now under the rules of the franchise tag. You know, I know the NFL has some pretty weird rules when it comes to that. So we'll have to see if anything happens there. Ow. But yeah, that was pretty much all the football stuff I had. I did want to ask you if you caught did you catch the highlights by any chance of the Yankees game with the two plays involving Gary Sanchez last night?
No, please elaborate.
Well, what I managed to see is they were playing Tampa Bay, I believe it was. And the first one is just, it's a normal, you know, I'm guessing they scored it a wild pitch because I think the ball was in the dirt and he blocked it and it kicked off a long way towards third base with a runner on second. So he was just kind of jogging over to get the ball, thinking the guy was just going to go to third. And like I said, the ball ended up going a long way away from him. Well, the guy kept going and ended up scoring. So he looked pretty bad there because he didn't really hustle. You know, he kind of trotted after it, and when he realized the guy was going to try to score, he picked up a little speed. And, you know, I don't know how they didn't end up throwing him out at home plate. I thought they had a good chance of getting him, but just didn't happen. And then they had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning, and I believe they were only down a run, or maybe it was the top of the ninth. I don't remember if they were on the road or not. And he hits a ground ball to short, and he's just kind of trotting down the line because it looks like it's going to be a fourth out at second. Well, the guy on first, who was Aaron Hicks, beats the play at second base. You know, I mean, he's just busting his rear end to get down to second. He's safe. Sanchez is just trotting down the line and gets thrown out of first base to end the game. And, again, it was a situation where he starts off trotting because he's just assuming it's a force out, and then he tries to pick up speed, and by then it's too late. He's out by 3 or 4 steps. Now, interestingly, today, after he got all kinds of heat, as you can imagine on Twitter, it blew up, and every announcer from here to there was killing him. Today, the Yankees put him back on the DL. He's only been off since the All-Star break, because he re-aggravated this hamstring injury. So since you're the conspiracy guy, did he really get hurt, or are they trying to cover for him?
I think they're trying to cover for him. I mean, of course, the replay that I just posted doesn't show him taking off.
So, yeah, because, you know, it's weird. He doesn't hobble like you see a lot of guys when they hurt their hamstring do. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we've seen it a million times. The guy will grab the back of his leg and really just kind of start to hop. He doesn't do any of that on either play. So, I don't know. But, yeah, he – He ended up back on the he's back on the DL, so we'll have to kind of see how this works out. But yeah, I thought of you immediately with the conspiracy. I was like, I wonder if they did this just to maybe save him some heat. No.
I think yeah, like you said, it's to save some. Save his face, but the replays that I've just watched, they don't give you his run out of the box.
No. So you know, that's just too bad. But I did see your guy Jonas went back on the DL, so I'm guessing his season is done. You know, I know you mentioned it the other day. There was a chance he wants to have heel surgery, which would actually take him out. Did I see 8 to 10 months? Is that what I saw?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess I'll have to go in and cut him. And I think I have him. I don't know. I have him in one league or both leagues. But he was quite a disappointment this year. Nothing but injury prone and. Definitely not worth the price I paid for him. So I will have to start send him packing. Did you end up with him in either league by any chance?
No, I almost did, but thankfully you rejected the trade offer.
So yeah, you know, now I can just go cut him. So I wasn't giving you Max Scherzer. He's like my best pitcher. No.
Well, you wanted an Altuve.
Well, he's not your best pitcher.
He's the best batter.
So, you know. But, yeah, so that was kind of disappointing to see the year he ended up with. So, but I guess that's kind of the Mets in a nutshell this year, isn't it?
Pretty much. There's got to be something in City Field.
Yeah. So you have to kind of wonder what the heck is going on there. But I did see we had a one afternoon game, and it was the Marlins. Oh, kind of cruising by the Braves, picked up a 9-3 win. Your guy, Wei Ying Chin, picked up the W. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. They were all earned. Walked 3, struck out 4. I think you cut him, though, right? Didn't you pick him up and then cut him?
Yeah.
So, and then for the Braves side, not a great outing for Julio Teheran. Took the loss. He went 4 1/3, 7 hits, 9 runs. Just 7 were earned. 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Did give up a couple home runs. Batting wise, if you happen to have Brian Anderson in daily fantasy, he went 3 for 3 and drove in. No, actually, that was JT Realmuto who drove in 4 runs. But yeah, Anderson was 3 for 3 and scored 3 runs. Realmuto 1 for 3, scored 2 runs, did drive in 4. He hit one of the homers off him. Starlin Castro hit the other one, 1 for 4 with 3 RBIs there for Castro. For the Braves, Freddie Freeman was 2 for 4 and so was Johan Camargo. So yeah, hopefully you had that, you know, had that all set up and you were ready to go. But the you know, the Braves are kind of scuffling a little. You know, I saw they're 4-6 in the last 10. They're a half game behind the Phillies. But I thought they've lost like 10 of their last 14 or something. Are they running out of gas, or they hit a bad patch, or what happened to them?
I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to them as of late, but I mean, they're 54-44, so it's not like they're down there with the Mets at 40-57. But you know, you can't run on high steam for an entire season. So maybe this is the bump in the road for them.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, everybody kind of assumed that they were going to kind of cross this path sooner or later. You know, and they are, you know, they're 2-2 after the break. They've only played what, four games, so it's not a huge deal that they're scuffling a little coming out of the break. So, and yet it's odd because like they don't have any, you know, like they did have a four game losing streak, but they don't go on like long skids. That was it. And then, you know, they win a game, they lose a couple, they win a game, they lose a couple. So yeah, obviously the negative is they're losing series, but I don't know. Is it anything to worry about, you think? I mean, or is this just kind of, you know, I think this was kind of the path we had them on anyways. I'm not sure if you and I bought them as contenders like everybody else did. Did you maybe see them fading a little in the second half?
Well, I mean, isn't the pitching kind of an issue with this team? Or it's basically
they're banking on a lot of young guys. You know, Teron was the only veteran, and you know, obviously he had a rough outing today, and you know, oddly they're getting good pitching out of Anibal Sanchez, which I'm still shocked happening because you know he's been so bad the last couple of years, but something's working out in Atlanta here. I don't know if that continues. So. You know, yeah, and I believe they're closer, or maybe he just got back from being hurt. But yeah, you know, just you look at their rotation, you know, Sean Newcomb's a young guy, Fulton Navis is a young guy, Turan, you know, his ERA is 4.42. He's really been scuffling. Before Brandon McCarthy got hurt, he was winning games, but his ERA is 4.92. You know, and Sanchez, 5-2 with a 2.76 ERA. I just don't know if that continues. I mean, his resume as of late hasn't been anywhere close to that. So yeah, I don't know if they're. You know, I mean, when young teams kind of hit a longer time to get situated because they don't have that veteran guy to go out there and just be like, hey, look, this is what we do. You think this is an issue for the Braves?
Yeah, I'm kind of running through their hitters right now, and I mean, when it comes to Freddie Freeman, I'll be pretty much carrying the team.
I had to look up the pitchers' ages because I wasn't quite sure on all of them, but. Newcomb is 25, Fulton Navis is 26. Ron, even though he's been around a while now, is only 27. You know, and then Sanchez is 34. So, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think this is like a death blow to him or anything. You know, not going to be one of those things, but it. Is this enough to cause a bump to kind of knock them out of the race maybe and put them in, make them focus more on the wild card? Or do you think they maybe need to go out and make a trade and try to get a starter?
You know, who would you be looking at? I mean, you know, I read an article earlier today that for Zach Britton, it's the Cubs, Dodgers, and the Astros. I mean, if you want to get serious, do you think the Braves would kind of get
Yeah, well, the name I heard today that the Braves have apparently, of course, you never know about these reports, expressed an interest in was Cole Hamels. So I don't know, you know, of course, what it would take to give it up, or even how true the rumor is. I did hear yesterday on MLB Network, Dan O'Dowd, who used to be the Rockies GM, said he doesn't believe the Braves will make a move and they'll just stay on their path with their young guys because they're ahead of schedule. So he wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of stay status quo. But yeah, today I heard some guys saying that apparently they've checked in on Cole Hamels. I don't know what check-in means. You know, if the teams have maybe swapped some names or whatever it looks like. But I don't know. Is he somebody you would buy as a I mean, obviously he's a veteran. He's a world player. But is he a guy you would you would be interested in, or something, you know, to that effect?
I wouldn't say he'd be a guy that's on the farm for. You know, but with Teron Sanchez, if he keeps performing, and you add Cole Hamilton to it, I think it'd be a great kind of addition to their rotation.
You know, and I mean, you know, looking at his numbers, he hasn't been very good the past couple of years. He's made 20 starts for the Rangers. He's 5-9 with a 4.7 ERA. Now I know it's you know, Texas is a good place to hit, so you know that's something you got to kind of try to figure out how to factor in. You know, he is in the last year of his deal. He has a vesting option. Looking, let's see, he hits 400 innings in the last 2 years combined, 200 innings this year. So he's got a vesting option for $20 million for next season. He is at, where are we here? Oh, nope, not quite high enough yet. He has pitched 114 innings this year. So you figure he's probably got 10 or 12 more starts. So it's going to be close if he gets there. So, I mean, you know, do you take that risk even though you could be on the hook for $20 million next year?
I'm thinking. I mean, you know, the difference with Major League Baseball compared to, say, the NBA is, you know, they don't have a certain amount of money that they have to spend. You know, if it were that kind of, you know, if baseball was like that, then I'd say, yeah, you should definitely look into it. But at the same token, it's a huge gamble because it can either really work out or it doesn't, and you try to not let him hit that 200 inning mark, right?
Yeah, you know, you would think you know, yeah, you know, looking at his numbers, it doesn't look like he's going to get there anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. If you're the Braves, you bring him in, and so how many starts does he have already?
20.
20. So, you know, in today's game, you know, honestly, 32, you would think that would be his natural progression to hit. But in today's game, we both know that guys aren't hitting 32 starts per season. So if you can get somewhere up into, you know, even close to that number, but they'd be definitely watching his innings, right? You know, with a stipulation like that, as crappy as it can be, I think if you take him on and you don't sell the farm and then you continue to, you know, limit his innings. You know, if he's getting demolished, you take him out right away. If he's got a good lead, you don't really let him go past the fifth or sixth inning.
Well, you figure, you know, in today's game, you know, since he's at, say he makes 10 starts for the Braves, you can't figure he's going to go, even if he was the best pitcher in baseball, he went 8 innings every start. That only gives him 80 innings. That doesn't get him to the 200 mark. You know, he's at 114 in the third, so he needs, you know, he needs 85 and two-thirds innings. And I don't even know, even if he made 12 starts and got to 32, I don't think he gets to 85 innings. That's a lot to ask out of a pitcher in today's game. So I'm thinking the vesting option is safe. You know, I mean, I'm more worried about the fact that you're bringing in a guy who's got an ERA of 4.72. And, you know, he really hasn't shown he's been able to do much the last couple of years. And, you know, I know he was dinged up a little last year, only made 24 starts. But even so, that ERA was 4.20. So,
yeah, but is that like a more of a calculated risk that they would be taking, i.e. Annabelle Sanchez, bringing him in, and it's seemingly working out?
Well, you know, I think if it was me, I the only reason I might not bring him in is I realize I got all my luck with Sanchez. could I actually repeat it? So, oh, and not to veer off course from sports, Dan, but I just turned around and looked out my window, and there is a woman throwing her husband off the balcony in one of the buildings across the park from me. So, I can't hear the dialogue because I've got the windows closed and the air is on, but he's currently pointing at her and she's launching stuff off the balcony. So it doesn't only happen in movies, kids.
Wow.
So there you go.
I wish the apartments I did live in, I wish I would have been in a bigger complex to where you can witness this stuff. The most fun I had, well, maybe not so much me, but I lived in an apartment once, like you said, not to get too far off topic, but where my sister-in-law lived upstairs adjacent to us. And when she and her boyfriend, husband now, would go out, they would come home and they would, knock on our door, mess with the screen door. And, you know, I always knew it was them. So I would, get my ways back. I would ding-dong ditch her when I threw out the garbage and, things like that. But, just to kind of top it off, not as cool as throwing stuff out the window, off the balcony. But one year I went to WrestleMania. My cousin got us, really crappy tickets, which actually worked out in our favor because we were behind the entrance. And the way they set up the entrance, they completely blocked our view. And we could have got floor seats, but my cousin and his friend didn't want to go up to the seats first. They wanted to shop. Instead, we ended up getting the seats literally next to the camera. And while I'm sitting there into the first, I don't even think we hit WrestleMania yet. It was the pregame show. My wife, girlfriend at the time, calls me up crying that she's hiding in the closet because someone's trying to break in. And I simply said, are you serious? You want me to leave right now? I'm like, it's your sister and her boyfriend. Get out of the closet and go upstairs and, yell at them. No, it's not them. I'm like, well, then call the police. Well, what if it's my sister? I'm like, so yeah, that was the highlight of my fun in an apartment building.
Yeah, this poor guy has now collected some of his clothing and is walking to his car. He looks quite dejected. So there's a little play-by-play for you.
She must have kept the PS4 or the Xbox One.
Yeah, I just turned around and I just happened to notice it. I was like, wait, what the heck's going on? So I thought that was humorous. But, yeah, back to baseball here. Now, Dan, we go through this, it seems like every freaking year with this guy, and I don't know why anything's going to change this year, but for some reason, everybody seems to think that this is going to be the year that Tampa Bay deals Chris Archer. Dan, I just don't see this happening unless a team goes in and just and blows them out of the water. And what I mean by blows them out of the water is it's probably going to take five prospects for you to go get Archer. What I mean? Even looking at his deal, he signed through next year technically for a little under $8 million, but he has two team options, $9 million in 2020 and $11 million in 2021. With today's market, that's a steal for a big-time starting pitcher. So in reality, he signed for three seasons. I know he's battled a little bit of injury issues this year. His numbers aren't great. He's made 16 starts. He's 3-4 with a 4.30 ERA. But, obviously you're paying for a potential of what he could be on a good team. Are you buying this is the year he gets moved?
No. I think if they were going to move him, it would have already happened. And, they let go of Longoria, and I don't really know the Tampa Bay fan base. I know there isn't seemingly looks like a huge one, but in order to keep people coming to the game, you've got to have somebody. I mean, I don't know the popularity of all the former Giants that play there. And Denard's fan is, and Denard's fan's not even there anymore. I saw him in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Yes, he's a Mariner. So, well, yeah, you know, that and the fact that Blake Snell just went on the DL, so there, you know, there's not a ton left there. You know, when you kind of start looking around, I mean, who you going to the ballpark for?
Mm-hmm.
So,
the Yankees, the Red Sox.
Or we can fight the pitches. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, here's an interesting thing, and I didn't think of this up until some time ago before today. I was over at Uncle Bob's this weekend, and he was complaining about kind of – he actually watches the Cubs games now. He's one of those guys where he didn't start watching them until they won the World Series. Mind you, he's been retired for, like, the last 10 years. So, but thank you, Uncle Bob, for the preseason Bears tickets. I enjoy going to the games, but I have absolutely no clue what the hell's going on. It's a lot different watching football live than it is watching it on TV. But regardless, you know, he was kind of complaining about the pitching. And, you know, I told him, I'm like, well, you know, it's very interesting that the hitting was off last year. And then they fired the pitching coach and brought in, you know, Joe Madden's guy. And unfortunately, it hasn't seemed to improve the pitching staff, so to speak, or make it any better. And not only that, you know, the one thing I want to throw at you, too, with the whole Chris Archer thing, I want to kind of see what you think about both of these topics. So the Cubs have had their chance for years to go after Chris Archer. They weren't going to sell the farm, but I don't think they could have sold the farm because, you know, this talk was going on since, I think, prior to Bryant and Schwarber and these guys kind of really making the names for themselves. But I find it interesting that the Cubs and Joe Madden seemingly stay away from any pitcher that came out of Tampa. Now, do you kind of see the same thing going on there?
Well, they did offer Alex Cobb a contract this offseason. He's one of the few guys they actually reached out to. It is a little strange that, yeah, they don't really kind of look that way or go that way when it comes to stuff. And you just, you know, you got to wonder what the issue is, right? I mean –
I thought that was really interesting that to talk to Chris Archer and plus with the guys that you have now. I mean, you know, part of it is the way I look at it too is the Rays were willing to unload Evan Longoria, which I guess he's more towards the end of his career on the you know, the latter part of it. So maybe you're not looking to get a boatload of high prospects, which I still think that Christian Arroyo's going to be a good player. I don't know that he's going to be a Hall of Famer or, you know, maybe have the status that some of these other prospects have, but I think he's going to be a solid player for them if he actually comes up into their system or, you know, wherever he ends up playing. But with that negotiation, do you think maybe they're looking to get too much out of Archer or much too much for Archer, and that's why teams have been kind of reluctant to go that way?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't blame them for wanting a lot. You know, in that type of situation, I understand, you know, because, you know, like I said, we were looking at the team. I mean, if you move this guy, he's really your only marquee player.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you replace him? You know, and I mean, because you kind of look at their roster, and I know – you know, C.J. Cron is hitting some homers, but his numbers are down now from, you know, where they were. You know, they brought Carlos Gomez in, but he's not the guy he used to be. I mean, there's no real name value here. I mean, Jake Bowers is having a good rookie year. Maybe he's a guy they can start to work around, and you got Willy Adames. Man, he's only 22, and he's just not hitting. So you know, you wonder, I mean, if you ship Archer off, and you don't get a big haul in return, you know, does your fan base turn on you even more? So,
can't be as bad as the Marlins fan base with their owner.
No,
but you know, the problem I kind of have with asking for too much, and why I think they might be asking for too much, is, you know, I know it's slightly different or slightly off and maybe experience, but what the White Sox got for Chris Sale, I think Boston's really moving forward with Chris Sale, where I don't think Chris Archer makes that big of an impact. I think he'd be a great addition to any team that picks him up. But I think, you know, even like with the Cubs, if the Cubs were to pick him up or take him on, you'd be looking more at a guy who's sitting in the 3-4 hole as opposed to maybe the 1-2.
Yeah, well, you know, I definitely think he'd probably be a 2. You know, wherever he goes, you know, with the teams that seem to be in line for him, he's probably going to be the number 2 guy behind whoever their ace is. You know, because obviously teams that are looking for an ace aren't in playoff contention at this point. So, you know, definitely, you know, definitely a deal there. But, yeah, I, you know, it's such a tough, you know, kind of idea. It's like, how much do you ask for, and how much are you willing to settle for? So,
well, not only
that,
when you put the Chris Sale deal up there too, they only gave up 4 guys, which Yoan Moncada was at the top of that. But at the same time, they have more time out of it, where now you're looking at 2.5 years of Chris Archer.
Yeah. Well, actually, you got, no, it'd be 3.5. You'd have the rest of this
year and three more.
So,
oh, I thought you meant it was a total with the options. It was a total of 3. That's where my money
was. Oh, no, he's. So, yeah, he's still tied up a little bit there.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. I don't really think they're going to move them. And, you know, I mean, I don't think they're a wild card contender, but they're playing good baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're winning games. They're hanging around. So, you know, I don't know, you know, if or how they might decide to, you know, hang on or move along or do something. But.
Well, and the problem becomes, too, is, like you said, you get rid of him, Blake Snell's on the DL. Odorizzi pitches up in Minnesota, and sadly, his game kind of turned around for him, not in a good way. You would know better. I looked at your team,
yeah,
but I decided to not offer you any trades for him this year. But, you know, that's besides the point. You know, aside from a couple prospects, you really need another major league ready guy. And if you're trading a pitcher, generally you don't get a pitcher for a pitcher unless he's, you know, coming up in the farm and maybe 2, 3, 4 years away. So I think that's where the dilemma comes for Tampa Bay side, is how do you really juggle that?
Yeah, you know, you wonder. I mean, that, you know, and you gotta, you know, again, you gotta sell your fan base. You know, I mean, you gotta get people to show up. So, you know, I mean, I just don't know. I just don't see it happening. I mean, believe it or not, they're actually 2 games over 500. They're 51-49. I don't think many people realize that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They do have. You know, they had, you know, a little bad luck like a lot of teams do. You know, they had a top pitching prospect, Jose De Leon, who looked like he was going to be in the rotation this year, and sure enough ends up having Tommy John. You know, they had Jake Faria, who looked like, you know, he had a couple good outings, looked like he could be a solid 3-4 guy in that range, and then he gets hurt. He ends up on the 60-day DL. You know, now they lose Snell. So, you know, you got 3/5 of your starting rotation on the DL. You know, that's not going to help anything. You know, so that's how they ended up going with this opener idea, because they just have so many guys hurt.
Yeah. Well, and if you're the Rays, and let's just throw the Cubs in the mix because it's close to home, and I think it's easy to kind of pick on, you know, to keep the people coming, you would need a guy like Javi or Schwarber in that sense to kind of really draw interest and get the fans excited to show up, even though, you know, that Chris Archer's not there. And, I mean, obviously the Cubs aren't going that route, but, you know, guys in that kind of realm, what contending team is really looking to give up on a guy, you know, a couple of guys on their team that are like those players? I don't think, you know, the Dodgers are, even though Justin Turner just popped back up on the 10-day, I don't think they're looking on sending him over there for, you know, Chris Archer, or, you know, look at the Red Sox, the Yanks, the Astros. I really don't think any kind of the infielders for the Astros or the outfield is going to go there, or they're going to want to send there for Chris Archer. You know, I'm sure there's a few other teams, but I think that's where it's apart.
It would definitely be tough if, you know, it was, hey, you know, well, we want, you know, one position player, you know, one guy off your current roster. There, you know, there's a lot of teams that can't do that. You know, I know we talked about yesterday that, you know, the Cubs are lucky. They're in a position where, you know, they can actually be like, oh, yeah, hey, no problem. We can give you, you know, one whatever. You know, you need a infielder, you need an outfielder. They just happen to have extra guys. I mean, it's the weirdest thing you'd never think in baseball. But, yeah, it's something they could actually do. You know, there aren't a lot of teams like that. So.
No. Well, and like you said, I think therein lies part of the issue is, you know, is Chris Archer really going to make that big of an impact where you're looking to give up a guy who's on your starting roster who you're essentially going to miss?
Yeah. So, yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you know, when you start looking at, you know, contenders, because, you know, everybody could use starting pitching. I'm not sure if you could come up with another team that could go and actually say, hey, we'll give you a young guy from our major league roster because we can afford to. You know, I mean, like, you know, the Red Sox are clearly the best team in baseball right now. They can't do that. They don't have an extra guy sitting on their bench or, you know, that plays part-time where they can go, oh, yeah, hey, no problem. You know, here, take this guy. We can easily give him up. We'll just plug in so-and-so. You know, the Yankees can't do it. I know the Yankees have some really good prospects. You know, I mean, you've been bouncing up and down with Clint Frazier all year. I mean, he looks like the real deal, but he's not here. You know, he's not a guy that plays. They can't do it. You know, I mean, you can run through, you know, even a team like the Astros that everybody loves, they can't go, oh, yeah, hey, just take this guy. So it's a weird situation with the Cubs when you look at that roster where there's really, you know, there's probably 10 guys for 8 positions. And it's just the strangest damn thing. Maybe 11 if you count Caratini, because he could start for a lot of teams.
And pitch.
Yeah. No, that's Rizzo. Rizzo's the pitcher.
Oh, no, Caratini pitched this weekend, too.
They all pitched this weekend. I think you would have pitched if you'd have been in a uniform the way that went down. But, yeah, it's just such a strange – you know, a strange setup there that I don't know if I've seen another team with that kind of depth. I mean, it's really the only way you could, you know, you can look at it. You know, I mean, it's just, it's baffling that, they've kind of had the struggles they've had. I mean, I know they seem to have righted the ship a little bit better lately, but yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of look at the names and you're like, wait, these guys don't play every day? So you know, because yeah, I mean, you could guarantee if they were on other teams, they would be everyday players getting 600 at bats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, with the Cubs, it doesn't kind of work out that way. So
unless someone gets hurt,
yeah. So, but you know, we'll see if they work. You know, and it's kind of humorous because you know I'm kind of looking at their stats and. You know, Javi's hitting .293. He's got 19 bombs. Almora's hitting .321. He's been one of the better defenders in the game. You know, and these guys don't play full time. You know, as you know, you kind of start looking around. You know, I mean, Caratini's hitting .280 in very limited time. You know, but he's a 24-year-old switch hitting catcher that you damn well know there's teams out there just salivating over going, man, is there a way we can get him? You know, I mean, any young rebuilding team would be excited to land a guy like that, and you just wonder how long he'll be in a Cub uniform. Maybe this is a bit of a showcase for an off-season deal.
Yeah, well, and it makes you question. I know they didn't know this then, but he put together a solid performance last year. It makes you question what the hell was the point of even going after Chris Jimenez, or as everyone else refers to him as Chris Jimenez, this offseason.
He used to catch Yu Darvish for 5 games.
Yeah, for 5. I thought it was like 12, regardless. But you know what I mean? I guess that's neither here nor there, but what was the point?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of the idea there was to allow Caratini to play full-time in AAA because, you know, again, he's just 24 and he needs the at-bats, and they're just not – Wilson Contreras is one of the best catchers in baseball, you know, not only offensively but defensively. You know, I mean, I know his power numbers are a little down, but with what else he brings to the game, it doesn't matter how many home runs he hits. You know, I mean, he can, and I don't want to hear about the pitch cleaning BS because we all know that's crap. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you're looking for spots to try to get at bats for these guys, and it's difficult. You know, unless you're killing Chris Bryant and you want him out of town because he's a bum now. So.
The fella's got to take the blame, right?
Yeah, you know, it's always somebody. You know, remember it was Contreras last year. You know, he was the bad guy. So you know, Yeah, you know, and then Baez, you know, when he first came up because he struck out too much, he was the bad guy. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was on that wagon too, but it was kind of like. I just, this kid's striking out. I went to 2 games, and he struck out 9 times in 2 games.
Yeah, well, you weren't driving him out of town, were you?
No, I was driving him back to the minor leagues to get some more experience.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there were people who wanted him out of town. You know, they were like, oh, yeah, can we get rid of this guy? You know, there's got to be somebody who'll take him. You know, God, just get anything for him. So... So, you know,
I think he was the last of the Jim Hendry picks. He was the last draft pick from Jim Hendry.
Well, yeah, he was Henry's last number one pick, I believe. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, and as you and I had talked, that was one of the reasons why I never thought he would last this long with the team, was because he wasn't a CL guy.
Yeah.
But I guess being, you know, pretty much brand new, you know, they fostered that relationship, kind of took him as one of their guys.
Yeah, well, that, and I mean, obviously, you know, it was kind of clear he had some talent. So do you want to, you know, no matter, you can say whatever you want to say, but talent overrules pretty much everything when it comes to that. I mean, you're not going to go, yeah, well, let's get rid of this guy because he was a Hendry guy and it doesn't matter
yeah.
how much talent he has.
Well, and when you look at the way things worked out now, it would have been a, you know, a big kick in the pants or whatever. But at the same time, I think the value in Javi Baez trade then compared to now is two totally different stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, if he was on the market now, they could get just about anything they wanted for him. You know, there wouldn't be much, you know, much doubt about him. He's not one of those guys that any team would want. So, you know, no argument there or anything at all like that. So, you know. But, I did kind of want to ask you, you know, I know we're running out of time, but I really wanted to get your opinion on this. You know, you and I touched on the Jack Cater stuff a little bit yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about how he got ripped a little, the fans got ripped a little. You know, just kind of in almost a side-by-side comparison, I saw today on one of, I think it was your favorite TMZ, broke some news about the singer Demi Lovato apparently going to the hospital because she overdosed on heroin and everybody wishing her the best. So now I'm baffled how you hate Josh Hader for making racist comments as a stupid 17-year-old, but you're okay with this girl using heroin when it's illegal. Could you explain? You're younger than I am. Could you explain this to me?
Well, number one, Hader has the unfortunate problem of, you know, his race being not a minority. And number two, they're a champion behind Demi Lovato because she's had these problems before, maybe not with heroin, but she's been outright with it. You know, her substance abuse issues that she's gone in before, plus with the whole heroin epidemic of this country, everyone champions behind, you know, people who are addicts because with heroin, it's not your fault. Alcohol, it's your fault. You know, crack, it's your fault. But with heroin, it's not your fault. It's Big Pharma's fault. Because you probably, someone like Demi Lovato probably did not start off using heroin. She probably, you know, hurt her back or her foot or did something while she was touring and was given an opiate to, you know, relinquish the pain. And then, you know, so on and so forth.
Then I'm always baffled on how they find out these people are using this stuff and then they're not arrested. You know, like guys taking steroids, it's illegal, right? I mean, it's against the law, but none of them are ever arrested. Don't forget to hear from you.